Hi, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm going to be doing a webinar today on managing anger. I'm going to mute everybody on the phone, and I'll unmute you when it's time to ask questions. So let's start with talking about the fact that most of us have learned only two ways of dealing with anger. Either we've learned to sort of dump it on other people, or we've learned to shove it down inside and repress it. But most people really do not learn about healthy ways of dealing with anger. Now, the problem with either dumping it on somebody else or repressing it is that you don't learn anything. And in the inner bonding process, it's about learning. As most of you who are on the call know, inner bonding has two intentions, and one is the intention to learn about ourselves and about others and about what's loving and what's in our highest good, and the other intention is to protect against pain with some form of controlling behavior. So with these two ways of dealing with anger, dumping it on somebody else, getting mad at somebody, blaming somebody, or repressing it inside, these are both ways of trying to protect against pain. When we get angry at somebody, generally the intention is to intimidate them, to try and have some control over getting them to either do things our way, see things the way we see them, see us the way we want to be seen, get something that we want from them. We hope that by getting angry at somebody that they end up feeling like they've done something wrong, and that then they'll change and do or feel the way we want them to behave and feel. And so anger generally, and nothing is always, but anger generally expressed at somebody else is a form of control. Likewise, when we either take it out on ourselves, we blame ourselves, we repress it, we shove it down inside, this is also coming from the intention to protect. We're trying to avoid taking responsibility for our own feelings. We're avoiding learning about what we may be doing that's causing the anger or causing the situation that we're dealing with. And so we don't learn anything when we either dump it or we shove it down inside or we take it out on ourselves in some way. So in the inner bonding process, we look at all feelings as information. All of our feelings are important. All of our feelings are there to guide us towards what's in our highest good. All of our feelings are telling us important things. So what is anger telling us? Generally, when we're angry at somebody else, what's really going on is that the child inside of us, which is our feeling self, the part of us that we're responsible for, is angry at us as an adult because there's some way that we're not taking care of ourselves in a particular situation. If it's in a situation with somebody else, we're not standing up for ourselves, we're letting ourselves be taken advantage of, we're letting ourselves be blamed, there's some way that we're not taking care of ourselves. And so the anger is our inner guidance way of letting us know that we're not taking care of ourselves. But if we just ignore it, avoid it, repress it, get mad at ourselves, or dump it on somebody else, then we're not learning what it is that we're doing that's causing the inner anger that's then getting projected out onto somebody else. Because almost always, when we're angry at somebody else, we're projecting onto that person the anger that's really going on inside, that our little boy or little girl inside, which is our feeling self, is feeling towards us because we're not taking care of ourselves. And so anger is a very important feeling. We don't want to deny it. We don't want to ignore it. We don't want to repress it. At the same time, dumping it on somebody else doesn't really get anywhere. If you think about those times in your life where you've really gotten angry at somebody, perhaps you can intimidate them into doing things your way, especially if it's like a child. Children, you know, are much more vulnerable to our anger than other adults. But perhaps even with an adult, you've been able to intimidate them into doing things your way. But there's always a consequence. There's always a negative consequence when people give themselves up, whether it's a child rebelling in some other way against you, whether it's a partner or friend taking it out on you in some other way. There's always a consequence. Plus, inside, we don't actually end up feeling really good when we're angry. Anger is a fairly low frequency, meaning that we're not real conscious, we're not real aware, we're acting out of our programmed self, what we call inner bonding, the wounded self. And while this wounded part of us, which is our ego self, may feel good for the moment if we win or we get our way or we're right, in the long run, it actually doesn't feel very good inside. Anger is often a way to not feel a sense of powerlessness over somebody. We tell ourselves that if we can get angry at somebody and get them to do things that we want them to do, then we don't have to feel the lack of control over them, which is really the reality, because ultimately, we don't have control over other people. We only have the control that they let us have. And if somebody, you know, if a partner or a friend finally says, I've had it, and they walk away, you have no control over that. So ultimately, anger is fairly powerless in that it may get us temporarily what we want, but in the long run, it can never really get us what we want. And what it really can't ultimately get us that we really want is love. We don't get love by being angry at somebody. We don't get love by blaming somebody. We don't get respect by acting out of our wounded self. And so ultimately getting angry just doesn't work very well. But for many people, the feeling of helplessness over another person doing something that feels hurtful inside is a feeling that many people will do almost anything to avoid. And one of the ways of avoiding the feeling of helplessness is to get angry. Again, it's a protection. We protect ourselves from our feelings of helplessness. We protect ourselves from feelings of loneliness if somebody is disconnecting from us by getting angry. And so, again, anger is generally coming from that intention to protect, intention to control. So what else can we do if we're feeling angry? What else? How can we manage the anger in a way that leads to learning? Well, in inner bonding, we have a very powerful three-step anger process. And I'm going to go through this with you because I really want to encourage all of you to learn this process and do it when you're feeling angry, because it's going to lead you to a lot of learning. It's going to lead you out of repressing the anger, which can often create a lot of depression, because when we put a lid on our feelings, we end up feeling depressed. And it can lead you to the learning of what would be loving to yourself. So I'm going to take an example. Let's just say that I'm in a relationship, and let's say that my partner is being busy all the time, doesn't want to spend very much time with me, and is kind of shut down and closed, and I'm feeling kind of not important, and I'm feeling angry at him because he's not. I'm feeling lonely, and I feel helpless over his behavior, and so I feel angry at him. Now, rather than just shutting that down, and rather than dumping that on him, I'm going to do an anger process, do the inner bonding three-step anger process. So the first step, and I would do this alone. I would do this like in my bedroom when nobody's around, and I would maybe roll up a towel and make sure nobody can hear me, and I would let myself really get mad at him. I mean, go for it. Yelling and screaming at him and telling him, you know, you don't care about me and what's the matter with you and I don't know why I'm in this relationship and you know, you're just so self-involved. All you care about is yourself and I'm going to just really let him have it. And I may swear, I may cuss. I can say whatever I want. Nobody's going to hear me. And I'm going to really get it out. Not at him. He's not going to be there. This is something that I'm doing for me. But I'm going to really let that angry, wounded part of me just really let it all out. And once I feel complete with that, then the part two of the anger process is that I'm going to think about, does he remind me of anybody from my childhood? Well, let's say that he reminds me of my father. And so now I'm going to really let that kid inside of me go after my father. You know, you never paid attention to me, and you were always working, and I was never very important to you, and you don't care about me, and, you know, just whatever it is. And you judged me all the time, and, you know, every time I needed something, you weren't there, and whatever it is that comes up. And you just let your kid get it all out. Now, the third part of the three-part process is what's most important, because this is the part that lets you in on what's really happening. So in this part, I'm going to let my little girl now get angry at my adult. So my little girl might say, you're just like him, you're just like my father, and you're just like my boyfriend, and you never pay attention to me, and you're never around, and you're always worried about everybody else, and you're always there for everybody else, and you're never there for me, and I'm here, I'm inside, I've got all these feelings, and you never pay attention to my feelings, you don't take care of my body, you don't take care of my emotions, you don't take care of anything, I feel like I don't exist, I'm invisible to you, you don't care about me. Okay, now I'm beginning to get what the issue really is, you see. I'm beginning to get that the real issue is my own self-abandonment, that I'm not attending to myself, I'm not paying attention, I'm not listening, I'm not taking loving action in my own behalf, and I'm then projecting out onto my partner that he's the one that's abandoning me. He's the one that's ignoring me. Now, he may be doing that, but in fact, what happens so often is that other people's behavior somehow ends up reflecting how we're treating ourselves. And the fact is, I don't have any control over what he's doing, but I have total control over what I'm doing. I have choice of whether or not I want to focus on what he's doing wrong, which is coming from a wounded place, which is coming from an intention to control, or I have the choice to focus in on what I'm doing. Am I being loving to myself? Am I abandoning myself by not tuning into my feelings? Am I abandoning myself by ignoring my own feelings, by judging myself all the time, by going off into addictive patterns, by making him responsible for me? These are all forms of self-abandonment. Is that what I'm doing? Am I in my head all the time instead of down in my body feeling my feelings? Do I escape into my mind to avoid taking responsibility for my feelings? These are all forms of self-abandonment. And they're all going to make my little girl inside feel angry at me. But since I'm not available for it, then it's likely, if I'm not conscious of this, that I'm going to project it out onto somebody else and make them responsible for what I'm feeling. So this anger process is part of step two of inner bonding. In the inner bonding process, the first step is that we tune into our feelings and we decide that we want responsibility for them. And in step two, we move into an intention to learn about what we're doing that's causing our pain. But sometimes we can't open. Sometimes we're so angry at somebody and we feel so blaming towards that person that we just don't open to ourselves. And that's where the anger process comes in. Because once you get through these three steps, you're pretty clear that the issue really has nothing to do with somebody else. It's really about how you're taking care of yourself or not taking care of yourself. And once you get that in the anger process, then it's a whole lot easier to move into a deep intention to learn, move into step three, which is exploring how I'm treating myself, what I'm telling myself, how I may be abandoning myself, what my beliefs are that lead to my unloving behavior towards myself, and then into step four, which is connecting with my higher guidance and opening to learning about the truth and the loving action towards myself, and then step five, which is taking the loving action, and step six, which is evaluating how am I feeling now? Am I still angry? Am I still depressed? Am I still upset? If I am, then I have to go back through these steps again to see what the loving action is, to see what the truth is. But the likelihood is if I've really done the inner bonding process, I'm going to feel a whole lot better. I'm going to feel some peace inside. The anger will be gone, the hurt, the depression, because I will have taken loving action in my own behalf. Now, there is another form of anger that we call outrage. And outrage is the anger that the loving adult has. Outrage is completely different because what outrage is about, it's about seeing injustice. Like, let's say that you're in a store and you see somebody, you know, beating up a child. You might feel outraged, and the outrage may move you to take some loving action. It may move you to go to the parent and say, stop, that's not okay to hurt a child. And this is what outrage is about. It's about moving you to take some loving action in your own behalf and in behalf of others. It's completely different than the anger that comes from the wounded self, which is, you know, just a dump, and it's to intimidate, and it's to control, and it's to get what you want and have your way and win. This is completely different. Outrage is about moving us into action to either help ourselves. Like, let's say somebody is attacking you. You want outrage. You want outrage that moves you into, no, you may not treat me this way, and taking the action to take care of yourself or to stand up for somebody else. So outrage is a very, very important feeling. It moves us. It motivates us. It motivates us into action. But the anger that we're talking about here, this is the anger of the wounded self. And any feelings that come from wanting to control, wanting to protect, wanting to avoid, these feelings create a very low frequency in us. And when we're in a low frequency, we're not happy campers. We can't share love with ourselves. We can't open to spirit. We're not feeling the love from our spiritual guidance. We can't connect with another person. And we cannot manifest our dreams. We can't create. We're not flowing. We're very powerful beings inside when we're connected. When we're connected, there's so much that we can manifest creatively, financially, health-wise, love-wise. There's so much that we can manifest. But we can't do it when we're in a low frequency. And so feelings like anger and hurt and depression and anxiety keep us very, very limited in our lives. That's why it's so important to learn the inner bonding process. And those of you that have not learned it, I encourage you to go to our website, innerbonding.com, learn the six steps of inner bonding. It's such a powerful process. And when you bring it into your life and you practice it, your life will change. So let me just talk about the website. Well, before I do that, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about dealing with other people's anger. Because many of us are, even if we're angry, we don't like anybody else's anger. Nobody really likes to be at the other end of anybody's anger. And very often, we don't know how to respond. How do we take care of ourselves? What do we do when somebody is angry with us? You know, especially somebody who's important to us. So there's basically only two things that you can do when you're at the other end of somebody else's anger. One of them is that we move into an intention to learn. If we think there's any possibility that even though the person is angry, that there may be some opening. We move into an intention to learn. And what we do when we do that is we do what's called active listening. And that means that we try and hear the feelings of the other person. We try and get what's really going on underneath the anger. What is this person really feeling? What is this person really trying to tell me? And so if you're in a place where you really are curious, you really want to know, you feel compassion and caring towards this person, you see that they're suffering in some way because anger is often a call for help, and you're in a place where you truly want to be there, then you can come from an open heart and you can active listen, so that you might be saying something to the person like, you know, I hear you're really, really angry with me because I came home late and I really want to understand more about that. I hear that you're feeling really hurt, that you feel that I didn't consider you and I didn't care about you and I didn't think to call you. And this is letting the person know that we're really understanding what they're feeling. And in this process, that person may let go of the anger. They may get into some pain. They may let go of some protection. They may get into some pain. And ultimately, we may be able to have a really good learning conversation. However, sometimes when people are very angry, active listening, being open to learning, will just get you dumped on even more, because they're going to take it as an opportunity to really let you have it, and they have no intention of opening with you at all, in which case it's far better, it's far more loving to you and ultimately to them, to lovingly disengage from the interaction, because there's no point in continuing an interaction with somebody, even if you're open to learning, even if you're listening, if they're totally intent on just blaming and dumping on you, and there's no opening at all. And so in that case, you lovingly disengage. And what this means is that you don't walk off in anger, you don't threaten, you don't blame, you don't stomp away, you don't withdraw, you don't close your heart. You just basically say, you know, I can't talk to you with this energy. And, you know, if you want to talk about it later, that's fine, but I can't do it now. And if you can't even get that out because there's so much anger, then you just walk away. But the important thing is, when you walk away, that you keep your own heart open to yourself, that you move into compassion. You do an inner bonding process inside. Sometimes I recommend people, as they're walking away, to sing a little happy song like Zippity-Doo-Dah or Mare's Y-Dotes. What that does is it helps you not judge and not ruminate about how awful this person is, or how could they do this to me, or, you know, how could I be in a relationship like this, or I got to get back at that person, or whatever. That it stops you from ruminating when you can get your mind around a simple happy song. And if once you're out of range, you can actually sing it out loud. What that does is it puts you into your right brain, which is what you want. You want to get out of the ruminating of your left brain, which is where the wounded self is. And you want to get into your right brain, which is where you can connect with yourself and connect with your spiritual guidance. And once you're out of range, you go inside, you imagine that little child inside who may be hurting from the attack, and you want to bring some compassion in. You want to see if there's any words you've taken in. You want to reassure yourself that the other person's behavior is not your fault, not your responsibility. You don't cause other people to act out like that. And so you want to do some inner work to make sure that you're okay inside, that little child is okay inside. And once you're feeling that, once you're sort of decompressed from the attack, then you want to look and see what else you need to do. Do you need to get in the car, take a drive, take a walk, just read a book, call a friend? What do you need to do to take care of yourself? Now, if this is a person who you know once they get over their anger, they're done, in a half an hour they're fine, you can go back and say, you know, maybe we can talk about it now. If this is a person that hangs on to their anger, then you probably want to stay away until that person, you know, feels done with their blame. So I'd like to just say a couple things about our website, and then we're going to take some questions, both online questions and questions that people have sent in. I'd really like to encourage all of you to spend some time at innerbonding.com. We have over 1,000 articles on the site. There's a huge amount of help there. And on the membership site, it's a wonderful community. It's a community of caring people. There's an enormous amount of support. I really think it's the best deal on the internet, because anytime you have any questions at all, you can go on the site, you can ask your questions. Erica and I, we're the co-founders of Inner Bonding. We answer your questions that same day, generally within hours. We're both professionals, and so your questions are answered in a lot of depth, and you can ask as many as you want. It's like the cheapest therapy that you can find, and the help is there. We have chats. We have hosted chats. People go on chats at all times of day or night. People get to know each other online. They support each other. They care about each other all over the world. We have forums where people go on. They share what's going on. They get help from each other. I write two articles a week, one for the public, one for the member site. And the member articles are in much more depth than the public ones, and you can comment on them, and people comment. They ask questions. Erica and I are always on the site answering the questions from the articles as well as from the advice section. And Erica writes a wonderful blog that gives you just a whole wonderful view of life that is very helpful to a lot of people. And so there's so many ways of receiving help. We have many trained facilitators who I work with people on the phone, and if people can't afford what I charge, there's many facilitators who have different sliding scales, and we have some facilitators in training that work for free with members of the website, and I think that's a wonderful bonus for people who can't afford any facilitation, but it's just for members. We actually have a whole community. People submit their creative writing, their poems, their photography, their art, their recipes, their movie reviews, their book reviews, and other members comment on that as well. And we have a lot of videos of people doing the inner bonding process, as well as a place online that helps you go through the 6 steps of inner bonding with some videos outlining each of the steps. And so when you join our community, you're joining a group of people who care about each other, who help each other. If you're really interested in healing and in personal and spiritual growth and creating loving relationships, and the inner bonding community is for you. And we have 7 free days. You can try it out for 7 free days to see if you like it. And I just really want to encourage all of you that are on the call to join the member site and see what we have to offer there. So I'm going to unmute. I have to remember how to do this. I'm going to unmute and ask you if you have any questions you'd like to ask before I go into the written ones. Okay, does anybody have a question that you'd like to ask right now?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
My name is Doug.
Hello, Doug. Yes, go ahead. Hello? Doug, are you there? Hello? Are there other people there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Doug, are you there? Don't know what happened to Doug. Is there somebody else who would like to ask a question?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I don't access my anger in general.
Okay.
And I think I just have a lot of fear around it or something. So
Were one or both of your parents angry people?
Yeah, both.
Both of them were angry. And so the chances are when you grow up with angry parents that there's a lot of fear of your own anger. Is that what you're feeling, that you don't want to react like your parents?
Yeah. And I freak out when other people are angry, too. So my relationship to anger is really not healthy at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to access it. And because it's not like it naturally comes up.
Right. I'd like you to tune inside right now for a moment. Just tune in and ask inside if that little girl in you is angry with you about anything.
Oh, I just remembered. I have had this sense that there is a lot of rage that I'm carrying inside, but I don't necessarily feel it. I'm just sort of aware of it in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Well, honey, I would recommend that you try the anger process that I outlined. Even if you're not aware of the anger, and even if you can't think of anybody that you're angry at, you might want to start with your parents.
Uh-huh.
And let yourself express your anger at them. And then let that little girl in you express whatever anger that you're aware of that she has towards you.
Okay. I mean, that sounds like I tried it a little bit when there are two things that get in my way. One of them is I'm afraid of people hearing me when I have emotions.
Yeah.
And I live in an apartment building, so my neighbors would hear, and I feel like there isn't that safety and that privacy.
Well, you know what? You don't have to do it really loud. You can do it softly, or you can even do it in writing.
Oh, can you tell me more about the writing?
Yeah, just you know, write it down. I'm so angry at Mom, and here's what I wish I could say to you, and just write it out if you don't feel comfortable saying it.
Okay.
The other thing is that sometimes people can do it in their cars.
Yeah, I don't have a car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But try it in writing.
I've tried sort of whispering it. Right?
Yeah.
The thing is sometimes, you know, I'm trying, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do this anger process and this will be helpful. But I can't, or if I'm, you know, with a facilitator, but I feel embarrassed or I feel like the words I'm saying are almost inauthentic because trying to get to that angry place just feels like I'm acting or forcing it or some resistance or something.
So you'd have to let yourself be inauthentic without the judgment. I mean, obviously there's a really scared place in you here, honey. And if you have to be inauthentic for a while, it would be great if you could take the judgment off of that. You're not going to really be able to find your authentic feelings if you're judging yourself for not doing it right. So I want to encourage you to take off the judgment, start with the writing, and just let it happen and tell yourself whatever happens is okay. It doesn't have to be right.
Mm.
You don't have to know what you're doing or get down to the core or anything like that. I think it's just important to begin. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, thank you. And the other thing that comes to mind is somebody that I know who gets angry very easily and will, you know, get angry at other people, including me, although I feel safe when he does it with me, you know, thinks it's good to just sort of let things out. So I was wondering what you thought about that. It sounded like, for the most part, you were saying that, you know, it's not a good idea to get angry at another person in the moment.
You know, sometimes people can have an agreement to let things out as long as they're not really hitting below the belt. But it just depends upon the two people. Some people, you know, can sort of fight fairly and get it out, and then they're fine and they're happy and they can talk and they can learn. But for most people, that seems to be pretty difficult, because if they get into blaming and attacking, it really doesn't help anything. So
okay.
It just depends upon the situation. You know, and that
okay.
leads into a question here that somebody sent in, and the question is there a need to work through an issue with someone else, or is managing anger always a solitary event?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what you're asking here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it depends upon the situation. Sometimes people do need to work things through. And if they're both really intent on learning, then they can. Even if they get angry, if ultimately they really want to learn and they really want to take responsibility and there's a lot of love there, then working it through with somebody. Okay, I'm going to mute again while I'm answering this. Working it through with somebody in that situation where there's basic goodwill between two people can be very, very beneficial. But if one or both people are not coming from goodwill, if they tend to get mean and very blaming or go into a deep victim place, then it's far better to work it out for yourself. So it's not like there's a rule that you always work it out with somebody or you always just work it out with yourself. It really depends upon the intention of the two people who are trying to work it out. It's so wonderful when you have two people who really care about each other and who really care about themselves, and they're in a conflict, and they can, you know, like kind of get it out and say what they need to say and really listen and care about each other, even though they may be upset. That's a very wonderful thing to be able to do. Unfortunately, that's not where most people are. Most people, if they get into that, they just get into attacking and blaming, and that's just destructive. So I'm going to unmute. So does that answer the question for you?
Yeah, it does. And so if somebody, though, does get angry in an unhealthy way and then you try, is it a reasonable expectation to have that you'd be in a really...
You know what, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you ask that again?
Okay. Is it a reasonable expectation to have if you're in a relationship with somebody, professional or friendship or romantic, for them or for yourself not to get angry at the other person? Would having an agreement not to, like, yell or anything like that be
I mean, it, you know, it's lovely if people are enlightened enough that they're going to always take responsibility for their feelings. But, you know, unfortunately that's not the case. And the way that I see it is, if people get angry, let's just learn from it. You know, I don't think that people could make an agreement not to get angry. I just don't think that that works. I think that if you're in a relationship and you have a partner who gets angry and you don't like it, then you need to learn to take care of yourself around what that person is doing. Like I was saying, that you either move into an intention to learn and listen, or you disengage. But to try and have control with an agreement over not getting angry, it really generally doesn't work very well.
Okay.
So I'm going to mute again and answer another question that somebody wrote in. Okay, so this person asked, do we ever have a right to feel angry? Is it always the case that we are really angry at ourselves for not taking care of ourselves? So it's not a matter of whether or not we have a right. We always have a right. It's not a matter of whether or not we have the right. What it's a matter of is what works for us. What really is in our highest good? What creates loving relationships? What really supports us? What is really most loving to ourselves? So, of course, we have the right, but does that mean that it works? Most of the time, it doesn't work to get angry at somebody. It doesn't mean we don't have the right to feel angry. Of course we have the right to feel angry. Anger is part of our learning. It's very important to feel our anger. Does that mean that we have the right to go and dump it on somebody? Well, you know, I don't think there's any rules about that, but I don't think it works very well. I don't think it's a way that creates good, loving relationships. And there's certainly no intention to learn when we're just righteously dumping our anger on another person. So I'm going to unmute and see if you have another question, if somebody's here who has a question.
Hi, it's Doug again. I got hung up.
Oh, yes, Doug. There you are.
Yes. Well, you know, everything you say makes so much sense. But I am dealing with a situation which there's so much resistance around going into process on this. It just involves my sister and, you know, very long, difficult story to get out here. But just, you know, I've never honestly hated anybody until the incidents that led up to the disaffection I have for her at this point. I guess what I'm hearing from everything you're saying is there's no way to resolve the issue, that I can only work with the anger, but I can't get to the issue with this other person who, you know, in this case, refuses
to speak. So you're saying that there's a big issue with your sister.
Yes.
And you feel a lot of anger and resentment towards her, but you're wondering if there's a way to work it out with her.
Well, I mean, you know, some part of it, the child yearns for the you know, the experience of having a close relationship with her. But that relationship broke down over a number of years, over a number of issues, and then finally came to a cataclysmic issue involving her stealing money from me. So,
you know, if your sister is not at all open to learning, and it sounds like she's not, because if she's going to go to the point of stealing money from you, it sounds like that your sister is in a very, very wounded place, that she doesn't care about you, that she probably maybe isn't even capable of caring if she would do that, and that, you know, as hard as it is, you may need to let the relationship go.
Well, I've let the relationship go. I just haven't been able to let the anger go.
Okay, well, then I do suggest that you do an anger process. I suggest you really let yourself just, you know, really wail at her at some point when you're alone. Really go at it with, you know, getting all your anger out at her and then out at whoever it is that she reminds you of in the past. And then finally, let your little boy get angry at you for however it is that you did not take care of yourself within this relationship. However it is that you may treat yourself the way she treats you, there may be a lot to learn by that third step of the anger process. How would you feel about doing that?
Oh, I'll do it. What's happened thus far in my experience with inner bonding is when my inner child gets around to yelling at my adult, I just get lost in shame. And I can't really, you know, hold the conscious center in order to really allow, you know, a more expansive learning process to take place.
So it's been hard for you to keep an adult really listening.
That's right.
Because you go into self-judgment. Is that right, that you go into self-judgment?
Yes.
You know, somebody's making a lot of noise, and it's making it a little hard to hear. You know, you can mute yourselves by doing star six. So whoever it is that I'm not talking to, I want to mute yourselves. And you can unmute by doing star seven. So that would be a big help here.
Good to know.
Doug, I'm wondering what feelings you're covering over with the anger. Do you have any idea what feelings are underneath that anger?
I know that there's a lot of love under there.
Yeah, but that's not what you're covering over. There's something else, and I'm wondering if what you're covering over is the loneliness and the helplessness.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's over the top. It's so big I can't even see it.
Right. But you see, until you're willing to feel the loneliness of what your sister did, which is a deep betrayal, and you're willing to just feel this is an existential feeling of loneliness, it's a feeling of life situations, and to feel the helplessness over her and over your inability to speak about it with her, to resolve it, to share love with her, until you're really willing to feel those feelings and to really accept the reality of them, the chances are that you're going to keep the anger as the cover-up. Anger is a secondary emotion. It covers up other emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what it's covering up is the loneliness and the helplessness.
Well,
are you afraid? Pardon me?
No, go ahead. What are you going to ask?
Are you afraid of feeling those feelings?
Yes, I think the honest answer is yes. I feel them quite often. So there's a lot of protection going on over this over the course of a lifetime.
Okay. But it sounds like that you might be feeling them, but that you're not connecting to your source of guidance and bringing the love down into those feelings. It sounds like when you feel them, you end up feeling too alone and abandoned inside. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So are you receiving any inner bonding facilitation, Doug?
No, I can't afford it currently.
Okay, but do you know that if you're a member of the website that you can get it for free?
Well, I just heard you say that. I didn't know that. And just to say, when I did the 7-day trial membership, for some reason I was not able to get onto the website. It did not allow me to get the free 7 days. But
Well, you know what? If you call Valerie at our office at 888-6-INNERBOND, she will help you get on. So if you want to try it again, please don't give up. And if you find that it's helpful to you and you want some free facilitation, it's available. We do everything we can to help people with the inner bonding process. So I really want to encourage you to try again, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so is there anybody else who would like to ask a question now?
Like to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm reflecting on a situation that happened a number of years ago in my workplace where I was incredibly angry at the boss of the organization, and she was having me in there for a one-on-one discussion. This is a person who had been on a similar level to me, had risen to the next level up, which was basically the head of the show, and I had felt very disappointed in how I saw her working in this environment. I'd known her for some years before out of that particular office. In this particular office, I had been pleased that she was there, a friendly face in the past and a connection. I became very disappointed in the process of working there at what I saw and obviously judged as a very ambitious, ruthless, climbing upwards person who didn't care who she trod on to get there. And she wasn't particularly treading on me, but I don't like that behavior, and I'm certainly not going to have it happen to me, but I don't like it happening to other people. So at one stage, our relationship deteriorated significantly in the process of the 2 years that I was working there. And at one stage, she called me, and I can't even remember why now, to have a discussion about whatever was going on. And I was so angry with her, I couldn't actually articulate that. What it was I was angry about was her behavior. And I remember sitting there and feeling unable to speak. I was so much enraged in front of her that she said to me, "I need you to go outside the room and come back in a moment."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that because I thought it was like an adult telling a child what to do. So I sat there for a while, and she said it again and again, and eventually I did. And I'm just thinking it's evoking feelings now, which is quite surprising because I thought I'd dealt with it. Anyway, this is actually about nearly 10 years ago. And it was, I was angry at her past behavior in that office, and I was angry at her present behavior towards me, which I saw as very, paternalistic, gloating in a way, because that's how I had feedback that there was some element of that going on in our relationship by her, and feeling powerlessness that I was sitting in front of this woman who had the authority over me, but in my view, not the, that might sound a bit, not the moral integrity that I would be prepared to sit there and receive that from somebody in that position. and I
you
thought,
know, let me interrupt you because we don't have an awful lot of time, but I'm wondering if you were aware of any higher sense of guidance at that time?
No, none at all at that time.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so what I'm getting is that you were in that situation in a wounded place where you're very, very
yes.
angry and you're feeling powerless and you're feeling somewhat victimized, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the problem is that there's no way to deal with, there's no way to lovingly deal with a situation like that when we get stuck in our wounded place, because we do see ourselves as victims. We think the only thing that we can do is get angry. We get trapped mm-hmm. in that. We can't find our way out.
Yes,
and I
right.
really want to encourage you, because obviously this is not a resolved issue for you within yourself since it was 10 years ago.
No, surprising.
Really? Pardon me?
I'm surprised I'm still feeling those feelings.
Yes. So I, you know, the fact that you brought it up here means that there's still a lot of pain. It's still unresolved. You know, I don't know if you've been practicing the inner bonding process, but I want to encourage you to learn it and learn to connect to a higher source of guidance. And
yes,
see
I
if
have,
you can – pardon me?
I am aware of the process. I have done a workshop with you, and at that because I hadn't – because I thought that issue was resolved until today, I hadn't – had those skills at the time, but it's obviously a good
okay.
one to do it.
So what I'd like you to do is, when you're doing the inner bonding process and bring in your spiritual guidance, I'd like you to
mm-hmm.
redo that situation. I'd like you to, like, roll the tape back and relive
yes.
it, how you would do it if you were a loving adult rather than in your wounded self. How you would do it
yes.
if you had your spiritual guidance at your side.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I'd like you to work with that. You might want to work with it in writing until you actually come up with how you wish you would have handled that situation. This is a very important thing for all of us to do when we behave in a way that we're not happy with. When something happens that we're not happy, we don't know what to do, and we feel stuck and we can't seem to get out of it, is go back and redo it with
mm-hmm.
our spiritual guidance. Until we come up with how we wish we would have handled it, how we could have handled it that would have really taken good care of ourselves.
Yes.
And once you come up with that and you sort of reenact it, like redoing
yes.
it, you're going to feel
yes.
a whole lot better.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Correct. Yes, I do. I do, and, you know, I could ask you another question about that, but it's not necessary to take up the time. I will do the process and see what reveals itself to me.
Yeah, and write it out like a script, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And say it out loud and redo it until you feel the release inside, okay?
Yes. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good. You're welcome. And so I'm going to mute and answer another question that somebody wrote in here. Okay, will you be discussing the problems some people have, like I do, in feeling or expressing anger, and who dislike being in situations where people are angry either at them or at others? And so I think that we have kind of talked about this. None of us like being around people who are angry. I don't like being around angry people, but it is a part of life. People do get angry. And one of the jobs of the loving adult is to learn how to take care of ourselves. And that's why I was talking about that earlier, to learn how to take loving care of ourselves around angry people, to learn not to take it personally. That's the first thing that you have to learn, is to not take it personally. Other people's anger is not about you. It's about whatever's going on for them. And so the first thing you need to learn to do automatically is, as soon as somebody gets angry, is you need to be able to say to yourself inside, this is not about you, little one. You didn't do anything wrong. This is not about you. Once you can do that and be in compassion for the fact that you don't like being around angry energy, at that moment, then you want to practice going to your guidance and asking what would be loving. Would it be loving to stay and listen, active listen, and try and get through this with this person, or would it be loving to disengage? Because those are really the only two choices that you have. Okay, let's see. My question is regarding patterns from childhood. My husband and I are becoming very aware of our patterns, and when our inner child is triggered, could you suggest to us how we can stay connected as a couple as we are working on changing our patterns with each other? I think we both become confused as we are so used to the patterns and almost expect them unconsciously. So, you know, this happens with many couples. We do bring our patterns into relationships, and we just continue to act them out, which is, of course, not helpful. And one of the things that I do want to suggest to all couples, when the patterns get triggered, please take a time out. Just go off by yourselves, do your own inner bonding process. Discover what the trigger is, what the beliefs are, how you're treating yourself, what's really going on, what you need to learn about the past. And once you get a clear picture of what's going on for yourself and you do the learning that you need to do, then come back together. It may only take 10 or 15 minutes. Come back together and share with each other what you're learning. But when the patterns are activated, to stay in there with each other is going to just keep on reactivating the patterns. And so it's very, very good for any two people. Even if both people are not doing inner bonding, even if just one is, to say, can we just take a time out? And take the time out, do your inner bonding work, and then come back together when you're de-escalated, when you're not in the triggered state. That's the state where you can share. And when you can share after, you know, de-escalating the trigger, that's when you're creating intimacy in the relationship. And so I really want to encourage all of you who are in relationships to do that. Now, I'm going to see if there's anybody else who has a question now. Anybody else have a question? No? Okay, I'm going to mute again, and I'll answer another question. We just have a little bit of time left. Okay, this person asks, I'm just curious, I've dealt with anger for a number of years, all stemming from different instances in my life. I have done really well for the past 5 years of dealing with things as they have come up until I met a man I fell in love with who couldn't handle my calmness, and a huge amount of anger rose up in me. He refused to give me any explanation to his behavior, a control technique, I guess. What would you suggest for me to be able to handle this situation better in the future? I don't have contact with him due to his silent abuse, as I call it. Okay, the fact that a huge amount of anger came up for you means that there was some way within this relationship that you weren't taking care of yourself. You say that he couldn't handle your calmness. My guess is that you might have discovered that fairly early, but that maybe you hung into it. Maybe you hung in too long until your child became enraged. But again, I want to encourage you to do the anger process, because this will help you discover what it is that you did that created the anger. As long as you think the anger is at him, you're stuck being a victim. You know, it's so easy to think that your huge anger is because he couldn't handle your calmness or he went off with silent abuse. But truly, it's not about him. The anger, your big anger, has to do with some way that you were not taking care of yourself. And so once again, I want to suggest that you do the anger process, get really angry at him, see who he reminds you of in the past, and then let that child go inside, let your little girl get angry at you for some way that you did not take care of yourself within that relationship. That's almost always what it comes down to. So I really want to encourage you, all of you, to learn the anger process. If you get up on the member site, we have a wonderful video that one of our facilitators did demonstrating the anger process. She does a fabulous job. So I want to thank you all for joining me. This webinar will be available on our website or at this URL for any of you who would like to hear it again or refer any of your friends to it. And I hope I see you online. Good night.